Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Now offers more selection and services from service awards and corporate apparel and uniforms to promotional products ranging from cups and pens to USB keys. Elite Promotional Marketing is the brand that helps you custom brand your organization. See what's new at ElitePromoMarketing.com. Elite Promotional Marketing, more than just sportswear.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:34 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated now for 49 years. For menu and locations, visit royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Royal Pizza, the Stauffer recommendation. Right here, right now. It's what you want tonight as you open up NHL playoff action. Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. Meat lovers. Digging the meat lovers, too. All right, without further ado, he is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. They're in first place in the Pacific Division, and he's got four of his top six scorers back in the last week. Jay Woodcroft joins us right now. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thank you.
You're doing good. You're probably, not to disrespect some of the guys that you had fill in over the last month, because you had a pretty good go until a recent road trip, but you're probably pretty happy because you're seeing some familiar faces return from Edmonton.
Absolutely. Four key players are returning the lineup. Obviously, Russell, who had been up in Edmonton but has been down with us here the second half, has returned with coming back from a little bit of an injury. He's a huge addition. And then obviously the three guys from Edmonton and Josh Curry, Dan Berdella, and Malone. You talk about four quality individuals, four leaders, and they represent over 70 American Hockey League goals this year. To return that to your lineup, it's a good position for a coaching staff to be in. We're looking forward to getting them up to speed and getting the team into the rhythm it needs to get into as we head towards the playoffs.
All right. Well, I guess what's interesting to me is, you look at it, Gambardella and Curry were basically playing about 9 minutes a game, and Malone was playing 7 to 7.5 minutes a game at the NHL level. You're going to need these guys to probably play, I would think, somewhere between 14 to 17 minutes a game. Do you have to get them up to speed and up to rhythm and being capable of carrying that sort of minutes at your level?
Yes, yes, we do. And that's something that we've talked a lot about over the last few weeks as a coaching staff, is how we're going to get them back up to the minutes that they were, get them used to the minutes that they were playing. We ultimately have three games here to do that. Everybody had the day off as a team down here on Monday here in Bakersfield after some tough travel, but we chose to skate with the players that were returning from Edmonton, just to get them used to skating and playing with the pace that we want them to play with here and in the minutes that we want them to play with. They felt much better after the Monday practice, heading into the team practice on Tuesday. We're going to play them a lot down the stretch here, regardless of our playoff positioning or whatnot. We're going to play these guys just to get them up to speed and up to the pace that we want them to play with.
Speaking of playoff positioning, where are you at right now? You're still first in the Pacific, right?
Yeah, we're first in the Pacific Division, but it's a tight race. I think our magic number is four to clinch the division. But I tell you what, this Pacific Division is every night's a tough night, and the positioning from 1 through 5, none of it has been set yet. I think it's going to come down to the last game of the season.
So you got three games left in the regular season because you guys play 68 games in your division, right?
That's correct.
So who do you got this week, Jay?
So we play Tucson this evening.
Yep.
And they're a potential first-round opponent. They're battling. They're 1 point behind Colorado for the fourth fourth seed in the Pacific Division, and then we close out our year Saturday night at home versus Ontario, and then Sunday against Stockton.
So you don't play San Diego or San Jose, and are they not the two teams that are that could still technically catch you for first place in the division?
Actually, I believe it's only San Jose that can catch us and, okay. and overtake us first place in the division.
Yep.
But, yeah, they play each other tonight, and then both of those teams are on the road to close out their season. So, you know, something that we talked about as a team and as a group here is that we want to control our own destinies here. We want to make sure that, you know, we want to clinch the division, obviously, and we want to win as many games as we can during this week. But the most important thing that we can get to is playing a game that we can be proud of, a solid 200-foot game, so that we're playing towards our potential as we head into Game 69, which will happen next weekend.
Jay Woodcroft, head coach, Bakersfield Condors. Jay, are you guys, I know you had back-to-back games in Manitoba. One of them you had like 41, outshot the opposition 41-21. Then you went down to San Antonio on, I think it was Saturday, and Ethan Bear scored twice in the first period. Did you kind of run out of a little bit of steam here down the stretch, down some bodies?
I think so. I think we ran our horses pretty hard down the stretch to, number one, to clinch the playoff spot, something that hasn't been done down in Bakersfield here in the 3 years that they've been in the American Hockey League prior to this season. So we ran our guys hard. We were a little bit thin up front. We asked a lot of people to take on more responsibility. And then, you know what, you have to give credit to the other teams as well. We went into a desperate Manitoba. We ran into a desperate Manitoba team that gave us everything that we could handle. We had tough travel to get down to San Antonio. I felt we controlled most of that first period. We were up 2-0 and then just ran out of gas down the stretch of the game. What I liked about those games, though, is that there were good signs for our team of playing the right way. Even though we didn't have our A or A-plus game, we feel that our structure gives us a chance to win most nights. And we weren't at our best last week, but our structure did give us a chance. Every game that we played was a one-goal hockey game. There's a couple empty net goals that were thrown in there, but every game was a one-goal hockey game. We had the chance to win, and that's what our focus is here during this last week of the regular season, is to capitalize on those moments within games, to build on that winning is a skill philosophy that we tried to ingrain early in the season, and find ways to win those tight games down the stretch so that we feel good heading into Game 69.
All right, so you had two players named just in the last half hour to the American Hockey League All-Rookie Team. Tyler Benson's currently leading AHL rookies in scoring. He's not leading AHL rookies in points per game. That's actually Cooper Marody. He did not get named to the team, so Benson just turned 21. Marody's, I think he's just now 22. And then Shane Starrett in goal. Named the all-rookie team as well. So I think that should probably excite some Oilers fans out there that the Oilers have got some players down in the American Hockey League that have had pretty good goes here.
Yeah, I can't say enough about everyone that you just mentioned there. I think, first of all, what a great storyline for their personal career. It's a true feather in their cap that they were named to the all-rookie team. Tyler, obviously, is an elite playmaker at this level. He drives our offense, and I'm real proud of his 200-foot game and the fact that he's a big-time plus player playing against the best players in the American League. I think it's great for him personally. And then obviously Shane's been the backbone of our team and our success down here in Bakersfield this year. Kind of came out of nowhere and seized the opportunity that he had. He commanded more and more ice time and drove us as we are, you know, competing for first place in the division. He's a huge, huge factor behind that. I think the youth and the way the youth has performed and developed is a true, true positive narrative for our team in our organization. Those guys, they've earned every second of ice time that they've been given. Like I said, they're drivers on our team. And even though Cooper wasn't named to the all-rookie team today, he is a league all-star, maybe all-star game. And as you said, he leads the league in points per game for rookies. So all real positive storylines and narratives for not only the Bakersfield Condors, but for the Edmonton Oilers organization.
All right, so now that you got all your guys back, can you open up the kimono for us and reveal your line combinations for tonight's game?
Yeah, sure. We're going to go back to familiarity, so we're going to keep Russell Malone and Gambardella together. That's our kind of 200-foot do-it-right line, and then obviously we have our kid grouping with Benson and Marody, and they're going to play with Josh Curry, who they've had tremendous success, specifically since January 1st on. We're going to go Evan Poli, Luke Esposito, and Mitch Callahan as a experienced, heavy, grinded-out type of line that spends their shift in the offensive zone. And then we have Vessel, Gus, and Nolan Deasy, who's played quite well for us over the last few games. We'll make up our fourth line, and all three of those young guys contribute and find different roles within our forward grouping, and they give us a good look as well. On the back end, we're nursing a few nicks and bruises. So tonight on the back end, we're going Lagesson and Jones. We're going Stanton and Day and Keegan Lowe and Jake Kulovich, and we're starting Shane and Nett.
So three names I'm going to bring up here. Yamamoto, day-to-day with something?
Yep, he is. Yep.
Okay. What about Cam Hebig?
Cameron Hebig's a scratch tonight. It's due in no part to anything he's done wrong. He's just taking a rest tonight. He's been a good player for us all year, and we expect big things from him going forward.
And Ethan Bear, you mentioned just a little bumper bruise there?
Exactly. Yep.
And so you expect him back down the road, obviously?
We do, yeah, obviously. It's getting to the time of year where you don't talk much about injuries and whatnot, but we have a few bumps and bruises like most teams at this time of year, and we're making sure that we're going to be as healthy as we can be and firing on all cylinders coming next weekend.
So, Jay, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Craig Simpson. It's about Todd McClellan, Buffalo or L.A. I'm not going to do that to you. You take care, Jay. We'll touch base down the road, okay?
Thanks for having me on, Bob. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Jay Woodcroft. He's the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. You heard him. Two more wins, and they clinch top spot in the Pacific Division. They are not playing the second or third place team in the Pacific, and they've got their team back, and that's a big thing for Jay right now because at one point they basically didn't have four of their top six scoring forwards available to them. It's been a good year, a step forward year. He's done some terrific things from a culture perspective. Got an all-star goalie and an all-star winger. And right now, and it's interesting, the Hockey News, and my understanding is the way it works with the Hockey News is they have the... So Rob Tichkowski from the Edmonton Sun did the writing for the Hockey News on the Oilers' top prospects. Tyler Benson was conspicuously absent. But my understanding is the way Hockey News does it, they actually say, these are the 10 guys we're ranking, go write about them. So Benson was not listed. I would suggest right now Tyler Benson might be the best forward prospect in the Oilers organization. Closer to helping the Oilers maybe than Kotter Yamamoto, who's gone through an injury-plagued year this year. 147 in Edmonton. This day in Oilers history when we come back in Oilers Now.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Turn that mic on. It's 150 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer with you. This comes into us from Reed from the Edmonton operation. Hi, Bob. Longtime listener on our Heartland Ford text line. Love the show. Just wondering how you think Angel Cabrera will do in the Masters. How will his 7:10 a.m. Tee time affect him? Well, I have... the only Cabreras I've ever known over the years have been baseball players. So in terms of Angel, it is Angel. It's not Angel, right? It's Angel Cabrera. I like his chances to, be in the top 20. I think he's a pretty good golfer. I'd really like to see Dustin Johnson win. And he is better the longer the day goes, I find. with Dustin Johnson. He's a ridiculous athlete. I think we can all agree on that. So my money's on Dustin Johnson. How's that for going out on the limb? And it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that, you know, somebody I know is a big fan of Dustin Johnson. Actually, a lot of people I know are big fans of Dustin Johnson. And in fact, this individual may or may not have been involved in this day in Oilers history. Brought to you by New West Travel. Ask about their destination wedding packages and corporate employee reward trips. Visit newwesttravel.com for more information. On this date back in 1982, Dave Campbell, what happened?
This was terrible. All right, Miracle in Manchester. Oilers had a 5-0 lead over the Los Angeles Kings. Then the Kings roared back, win the game 6-5 in overtime. Whatever.
Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, it was at my grandparents' house in Camrose.
You ready for this? I was a busboy at the sawmill for Tom and David Goodchild. And when I left to take the cab back to my house when we were living in Ermineskin, when I was going to Harry Ainlay, I left, the score was 5-0. And by the time I'd gotten to the house, it was already 5-4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a heartbreaker.
See, I remember watching it. And I was like 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what was happening. I'm like, how could, you know, even back then I could comprehend a 5-goal lead should be a safe lead. And I'm like, Grandpa's, the game's over now? Yes, the game's over. And my grandpa had some choice words for the Oilers. Yeah. Anyway, can't repeat that.
And then they won game 4. That was game 3. They lost 10-8 and 6-5 in that series. 10-8, 6-5, and 7-4.
Yeah.
I went to game 5 with my cousin, Michael Rapley. We were bummed out. Oilers lost. And you know what? It was, they got taken to the woodshed. All right. I want to get to a couple texts here. You can text us at 630-630. This text comes into us. Where did it go? Because he's criticizing me, so I always like to give ample time to individuals that want to criticize me. What happened here? I lost it, or was that? Oh, here it goes. It's out of Calgary. Wow, sure glad you're not drafting third overall. You ignored 66% of major junior hockey players and not even suggesting a player from Ontario or the Quebec League. Oh, and continue to overhype major junior hockey players in the West compared to comparing a player to Getzlaf. Wow, same as you overhyped Jesse, compared him to Blake Wheeler of the Jets. This is why you are a radio talk show host and nothing else. All right. At the same age, and we're all sitting here wondering what Jesse Puljujärvi is at this stage. He's 20. At the same age, Blake Wheeler was an underperforming player at the University of Minnesota who would later not sign with Phoenix and end up signing with Boston and then get traded by Boston to Winnipeg. Blake Wheeler didn't become the Blake Wheeler we know until 28 or 29 as a player. So let's establish that. Number two, I've actually stated on the air on numerous occasions that the Western League is not as strong as it once was. This is a good WHL draft. I think 4 of the top 8 players in the draft will come out of the WHL because I think somebody's going to step up and take Krebs 7th or 8th overall. I said I'd take Bowen Byram at 3 all day, absolutely. You, the texter out of Calgary, referenced the OHL and the Quebec League. They don't have a player that's going to go in the top 8 of this year's draft. There is not one scouting service out there that has an OHL player or a Quebec League player in the top 8 of the draft. There's a guy playing for Halifax, played on the World Junior Team, big kid, Raphael Lavoie, 13 goals in 10 games. He might get into the top 10. He's had a good playoff. He was very good with Canada in the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament. Next year, however, Mr. Calgary, you will be happy because the top 2 players in the draft, Alexis Lafreniere out of the Quebec League, Quentin Byfield out of the OHL, they'll both go in the top 3, so you'll have your wish. The Ontario League has been the best league because there's only 20 teams for roughly 13.5 million people. There's too many teams in the WHL, 22 teams for roughly 9 million people in Western Canada. So there you have it. But this is a good Western Hockey League draft. Take it for what it's worth. But hey, Calgary, keep texting. I've always said 98.9% of the folks out of Calgary super smart about hockey. Which side of the ledger do you fall in? Thanks for listening. All right, coming up tonight, the mega-talented Reed Wilkins with Calgary Flames broadcast. So I get it. He gets the fellow broadcast host. Actually, let's get Reed right on here. Reed, you got Pat Steinberg on tonight.
I got Pat Steinberg. You're going to be excited I got this guy on, Cam Moon. So he'll fill us in on his thoughts on some of those prospects in the WHL, and he has been to all the games so far in the Oil Kings Hitman series.
There you go.
So he got to go last night. We had to bump Hal Gill last night because I had a lot of open line.
Sure.
So we'll have Hal on tonight. Who's our Calvin McCarty on tonight?
Calvin McCarty from Camrose, Alberta.
What?
The Eskimos are doing a big amateur football tour across
communities. I thought Calvin was from BC, wasn't he, initially?
He's from Oklahoma. Moved to BC when he was a young lad.
Yes.
And now has called Edmonton home for the last 13 seasons.
Is he still playing for the Eskimos?
Yeah, I think he'll be on the team.
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's like played forever as a fullback.
He's the smartest guy in the operation, in my opinion.
Where was he out of? One of the Washington schools, right? Which one was he from? McCarty.
Oh, which one did he go to?
Eastern Washington. It's been a while. Western Washington.
Since he was there.
Yes.
Okay. And who else you got? You got a kid out of JP High School.
Do we have the dunk champion?
Ben Crickey from JP High, who is committed to Valparaiso University.
You know, my dad taught at Jasper Place for roughly 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
I'm amazed any of those kids progress to have a strong academic career beyond... And my dad's long since gone, so he still sends texts, the critical ones that come his way.
Yeah.
So those are from friends of my old man, I think, from back in the day. Guys, hey, Dave, Reed, thanks, chill, and we'll be checking it out tonight. I'll have it on Inside Sports while I'm watching all the playoff action. Tomorrow, Brian Burke for Canadian Power back and Louis DeBrusque. Up next, a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by the 6:30 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye. So long, everybody.
With Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca. On Oilers Radio, 630 Ched. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Ched.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.